Come Thou Fount. And I read here, it's been a year or so back, but and I read a little bit of the history on that song. The guy that wrote that song's name was Robert Rogers. He was a real wicked young man. 1752, he cited him and some of his friends would go to a revival meeting and tear it up. But he ended up going to that revival meeting and George Whitfield was preaching. And he ended up getting tore up. And God saved Robert Rogers and called him to preach. And he wrote four or five hymns, and the one that he's noted for is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And through doubt and through some trouble in life, he pastored for years, and then he kind of backed up and got out of the Lord's work and just kind of went adrift. And probably 15, 20 years had passed, and he was on a stagecoach one day, and this young girl got on there, and she's singing a song, Come Thou Fount, Every Blessing, humming it. And she looked at him and had no idea who he was and said, I would give anything, sir, if I could meet the man that God gave the privilege to pin down such a beautiful hymn. And Robert Rogers told her, said, young lady, I know you wouldn't believe this, but I'm he. And he said, I'd give a 1,000 worlds if I could have that peace back again. She said, you think the Lord would touch me? She said, well, Mr. Rogers, you wrote the answer to that in the first verse. Come thou fount of every blessing. Then goes on our streams of mercy, never ceasing. And old Robert Rogers bowed his head in that coach and got right with God and lived for the rest of his life for God. Yeah, some of them old songs, you want to do a history, do a history on some of those songs. It'll bless your heart. Amen. And how they come about and how they're wrote. I think about that old song, I sang it a lot of times, and it's a good one. About the man, Brian, hit me here, my mind's, I'm having a sometimer's moment. It's a song. It's about the water. You know what I'm talking about. The guy was going in. He was on the ocean streamer, and he lost his. Yeah, it is well. Yeah, I knew I'd get there. I'm getting old, and my gears don't turn as fast as they used to. But anyhow, it is well, and he was. And his wife had wrote him a letter, and it's like, I saved alone. And he told the captain, he said, when we get to the place the ship come, I wish you'd call me. And the captain come got him and said, sir, we're right about the place. And he walked out, and he looked at where that ship went down with his girls, and he began to pin that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And we've enjoyed it for years and years and years. Amen. And storms and trials, heartaches. Yep. That old song's been a blessing. And that's what it's all about. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter number 20. God's been real good to us. I appreciate the message that Brother Brian preached a little bit ago. I told somebody he really put me against the wall. Amen. I'm going to have to work hard to come up with anything. Of course, we need the Lord. Amen. And it ain't a preaching competition, amen. But Bible said in verse number 1 of Jeremiah 20, when you find your place, we'll read a little bit and see what the Lord has to say. I still like to hear them pages turned in that Bible.
Yeah, amen.
A lot of guys, they using notebooks now. I know some preachers, they preach out of it with a notebook. I said, boy, if they ever lose the power, they're going to be in trouble. Amen. But now, Passer, verse number 1. The son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. And we go back to chapter 19, verse number 15, and you'll find out what Jeremiah said. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it. Because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. Now, Passer smote in verse number 2. Jeremiah the prophet. Put him in the stocks, and that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Passer brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name Passer, but Magor Misabid. Well, I'm going to tell you what, praise God, that's bad. Passer would have been easier, wouldn't it? For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies. Thine eyes shall behold it. I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive into Babylon, shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, all the labors thereof, all the precious things thereof, all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Passer, all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity. Thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die. Shalt be buried there, thou, all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. And then Jeremiah says, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. And I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. And I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart, and mine heart, and as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Our Father, I pray, Lord, tonight, God, or this morning in Jesus' name, that you'd meet with us one more time. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for what you've done, and God, how you've done it. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Fox, and Lord, and how, God, you've helped him here, and God, thank you for his family. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, God, that, Lord, that you'd bless this church. Thank you for the people here. And I just pray, God, that today and, Lord, tonight and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, God, give them what they need. And God, our Father, God, may we have an unusual meeting with God. And our Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd touch us and touch me and Brother Green as we try to preach and find your mind. And Lord, help us, I pray. God, I pray in Jesus' name, you just glorify your name. We'll thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Think about Jeremiah. Think about his situation, Jeremiah chapter 1. He received an unusual calling. I mean, the Bible says that God called him while he was in his mother's womb. I'd say ain't many people can say that. God said to Jeremiah, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. Why, the Lord went as far as to even say, you're not going to have no converts. Can you imagine that? Spend 40 years of your life preaching the Bible. Nobody even listen to you. And then when they do listen to you, they get mad. Think about pastor. Now, back where I'm from, I was born and raised in Louisiana. Amen. I think about if pastor was a Catholic, he would have been a cardinal. Amen. But if he's a Southern Baptist, he'd been an associational missionary. And pastor did not like what Jeremiah's preaching. Jeremiah's preaching the Word of God. Do you know what I found out? People don't like it when you preach the Word of God. People don't like it when you stand on your feet and stick your finger in their face and say, thus saith the Lord, you better get right with God. You start preaching against immorality, adultery, fornication, amen, going and gambling, buying lotto tickets, amen, spending everything you get to try to be $1.6 billion richer, and you go broke. And I mean, they become God cussers, amen. They become lawbreakers in every aspect of the word, and the preacher gets up and he cries out against it, and you're mad. But God said, don't be afraid of their faces. Amen. And then the next thing, you know, if that ain't, amen, you know what pastor did? My mama, she'd slap you. You know, if you slap us boys, if we get drunk, and old pastor, she'd say, I'm going to wring your jaws. That's what my mama would say to me. We knew we should get the fire slapped out of us. Now, see, my mama didn't believe in all this CPA stuff now that's going on, amen. She wouldn't have done it anyhow. Amen. Amen. My daddy would have packed my suitcase and called them, told them, come get me. But anyhow, old pastor just reared back and just wrung Jeremiah's jaws. He smote him. That's what the Bible said. Yep. For preaching. And if that's not bad enough, he put him in stocks right in front of the house of God. He said, we'll just make it bad on you. Boy, then he has to deliver, then God, while he's in stocks, God gives old Jeremiah another message to the pastor and said, now give that to him. Maybe sometime in a weak moment somewhere, Jeremiah said, man, what's the use? There's times in life when the burdens get so heavy and it seems like God's not nowhere around. Amen. I mean, John the Baptist, he was preaching. He stuck his finger in the king's face. And he said, what you've done is wrong. It's not right for you to have your brother's wife. He's preaching against fornicating and he's preaching against adultery and he's preaching against ungodly living. And all of a sudden, listen, John the Baptist had saw, he baptized Jesus Christ the Lord. He'd touched him, he'd put his hands on him. He'd saw the dove come down from heaven and land on his shoulders. He'd heard the voice of God Almighty speak and say, right, in his ear, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He saw all that. Now he's sitting over in prison. Amen. And his life is in the hands of a bad man. His life is in the hands of a bitter woman. And his life is in the hands of a belly dancing daughter. Yep. You listening to me? Yeah. Amen. And all of a sudden, are you listening to me? Amen. He's sitting there in the darkness. And some of his disciples come by and he says, you better go ask the Lord, is it you or do we look for another? What I'm trying to say, listen. Troubles will come. But before you quit and bail out, there's some things you need to think about. Think about old Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to just quit. That's what he's really saying. He said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm done. I don't care what goes on. I'll never mention the name of the Lord again. But before you quit, things you better look at. Number one, you need to look at sin. Yeah. This world that we living in is crazier now than I've ever seen it.
Amen. Right.
You listening to me? Crazy, crazy, crazy. And I mean, it's the political side is nuts, amen. But just the sin that's going on, the immorality. Amen. Somebody can separate now. Somebody can not even be divorced. And they can start seeing other people and they don't even think nothing about it.
Amen.
Amen. Still wrong. Still sin. Still ungodly. Still black. Still dirty. Still wrong.
Amen.
And that's not on that, but you can go on and on. I think about you just need to take another look at sin. Man, we're the only light in this dark world that we live in. You listening to me?
Yeah.
Here about a month, I don't know what's been going on in Houston. I don't know whether it's the water some of these goofball women's been drinking. But about the last 3 months, there has been several women that has took their babies and put them in microwaves and cooked them. I'm telling the God's honest truth. I've never heard anything like it in my life. I mean, put the little baby right in a microwave and just turn it on. Some survived, some have died. Just 3-4 months back, there was one, this guy come home. He was talking to his wife. It was on a Friday evening. He said, "Well, how's the baby doing?" She said, "You're eating him." We live in a dark world. And I'm telling you, as a child of God, before you and me quit, we better take another good look at sin, because it's going to get darker. Amen. We let our light go out. Before you quit, you need to look at sinners. Not only sin, and what, but you need to look at the sinners. There's some sinners out there that need help. Amen. I know you got some hard cases out there, and but most of them, they just old bullies. They really scared. That's why they act as mean as they do. Amen. I'm talking about there's some people that need God. And he said, if our gospel be hid, or we've turned the light out. Amen. Because we refuse not to talk about it no more. It's going to be hid to them. It's not saved. They're going to go to hell. It's going to be your fault. It's going to be my fault. Said before you quit, you better look at sinners. Thought about, I was in that restaurant last night, a little girl there. I haven't been able to get that kid off my mind. And I thought, Lord, somebody needs to share the light. Somebody needs to, amen, before you quit. You might and you will be the only person that will reach somebody. If you quit, they won't get reached, and they'll go to hell without God, and you'll face him in the judgment for it. John 19, Peter denied the Lord. He denied him that first time, but when he denied him a second time, this little old guy run out there and said, "Hey, did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Before you quit, I'm telling you, there's people in this town that know that you're a member of this church and know that you're saved by the grace of God. And whether you realize it or not, they're watching you. Back, it's been about 2-3 months back. I was preaching up in North Carolina, and I come home, and I drove that particular trip, and I was coming home, and the Lord just touched my heart. I need to call my oldest brother. And I called him, and he said, "Man, I need you to come by. I need to talk to you." And so he said, "I want you to go to a singing with me tonight." And I've been praying with my brother 45 years. You listening to me? And I got over there, and he said, "Well, let's go on, go to the singing." And he said, "There's a gospel singing group going to be here." And he said, "A little old country church." And he said, "I want you to go with me." And he said, and lo and behold, we drove out there, and it was a church where it all started for me. Where I got right with God, where I got called, are you listening to me? I got saved in another church before, my life for God, my walk for God really began. It'd been 45 years since I'd been in that church. I'd went to school and done some of them people got up and they hadn't seen me in 45 years. And then that singing group was a Perry's from a Perry family out of big Southern gospel singing group. Well, I knew that one boy, and he was a And his grandpa was a real good friend of mine, and I'd preached several meetings with him and for him. And he's home to be with the Lord, and boy, they got to singing. And anyhow, my brother, we didn't get to talk a whole lot, and all of a sudden, boy, that old girl got to singing. Did I mention that? I love him. And I'm trying to be kind of dignified. I didn't want to just... Amen. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, my brother says, amen. And I looked over there like, really? What are you doing? And then, boy, she got on that course, and I mean, she got to singing. And, boy, about that time, boy, when he stood on his feet and raised his hands toward heaven, and I mean, them tears began to flow down his face, and I'm sitting there saying, Lord, who is this? And he said, Lord, I want to thank you for loving me, and I want to thank you for not judging me and not putting me in hell, and I want to thank you for being my Lord and my Savior, and I just want you to know I love you. And son, I'm telling you, I said, what in the world is going on? Well, when that service was over, we got in the truck going home, and he said, I need to tell you something. And I said, I sure need to hear something. What in the world? And my nephew had got killed in 2000, this freak accident. And my brother had watched me for years. And anyhow, boy, he was mad. He was mad at God. And he cussed God. And he talked bad about God. You talking about God, he's a God of mercy. My old mama prayed for him. And amen. Are you listening to me? Prayed for all of us. And I'd prayed for him. And boy, I'm going to tell you, finally, that's the way a sinner do. They'll cuss and rage and rant and God, but the whole time it'll bring conviction on them. Amen. And he said, the more I did that, the more dirtier I'd feel. And finally, he got out there, and about 4.5 months ago, he got out there on that old boat, and he told God, he said, I ain't getting off this boat till I meet you, and I got some peace in my heart, and everything's all right. And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, it's about 7:30 in the morning, I stepped off that boat with a peace of God down in my heart. And he said, I just want to thank you for staying faithful all these years, amen, and praying. I'm saying before you quit, this thing is bigger than you and me. Somebody's watching you. They may not get saved when you want them to get saved, but they'll get saved when they get, amen. You let them stay in the cooker long enough.
Yeah.
Before you quit, you need to open the scriptures. These old scriptures will give you comfort. And it's been a lot of times I've thought, man, I ain't no way I can make it. I ain't no way I can go any further. I pick up and read the Bible, and boy, God will touch me, something will jump out of me in this thing, and then boy, it'll just cheer my heart, and I say, I believe I can go a little further.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This old Bible's our roadmap. This old Bible's our companion. You listening to me? It's our friend. Amen. It's our lifeline. It's our meal. Amen. It's a light under our path. Telling you it's light and darkness. Amen. You listen to me?
Yeah.
Talking to you tonight. Boy, I was talking to you this morning. Say, before you quit, you need to look at them scriptures. Before you quit, you better realize that you got sons and daughters watching you. Grandchildren may be watching you. Back in June, my oldest grandson got saved. And then toward the end of June, we have a youth camp on a Wednesday night. He come up to me and he said, Pa, would you pray for me? God's called me to preach. 14 years old. He got down on his knees, and I got down on mine, and I put my hand on him praying for him. And asking God to touch him and help him. I got up and I was driving home that night. The Lord spoke to my heart, took me down memory lane. It was almost 45 years to the day when I answered the call to preach that God knows. My old grandpa put his hand on my head and prayed God put his power. I'm saying before you quit, you got sons and daughters watching you. You listening to me? Yeah. Amen. That little old grandson of mine said, Paul, I really leaning on you. I need you to pray for me. Hey, before you quit. Yeah. And I think about Brian, my little grandbaby Avery. She got me spoiled. I confess it. I ain't got her spoiled. She got me spoiled. I flew in from Ohio yesterday and finished a meeting up there Friday night. Flew in, got into Houston at 8 o'clock. She's sitting in the car. She said, Papa. I said, what, sweetheart? She said, will you buy me a toffee? I said, I sure will. And sometimes she'll call me. Here a while back, she called me and she said, Papa, I learned this song for you. She started singing, You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine. I'm going to tell you, I'd hate to do something one day, praise God. That little old girl wouldn't be proud of her papa. That my other grandkids have to put their head and bow their head in shame because their papa fell out by the way. Amen. I mean, after God's gave us everything we need in this life, are you listening to me today? Amen. I mean, old Joseph give his brethren and give everybody all the provision they need to go back and get his dad. And the last thing he told them, see that you fall not out by the way. And I'm going to tell you, God's gave us a church and God's gave us a Bible and God's gave us his spirit, amen, to lead us and guide us in this dark world. And I'm telling you, there's no excuse for you and me to fall out, by the way. And I'll say this before you quit. Not only remember, let me say this. My kids, Brian's wife, my baby daughter, and my two boys, they ain't a week goes by, they don't call and say, Daddy, would you pray about this? Daddy, would you pray about this for us? Daddy, would you? I say it'd be a sad thing for them to quit calling because they lost confidence. You just quit, fall out by the way. I've seen it happen. I've preached with preachers, and I've seen their kids laying in the altar weeping and crying because Daddy's no longer in the ministry. Just give up. Something happened. Something, amen, silly. Some sin. I'm telling you, this thing's a lot bigger than you. And you affect generations in your family to come by the choices you make, and the bad choices you make or the good choices. Amen. Amen. I know I'm not doing a lot of somersault flipping right now, but I'm trying to talk to you from my heart this morning. God, get on me. I'll have two more shots, turns, and flips. Amen. Before you quit, you better realize some saints counting on you and hoping you can fight the battle. I think about myself, Brother Danny Farley, Brother John Thompson, Brother Bobby Cox, Brother Butch Cox, he's gone home to be with the Lord now. I could name off probably 15 or 20 men. Back in 1978, when we all got to Shady Acre Baptist Church, we prayed and asked God to make a pact with us that we'd encourage one another to finish our race. There's been times I've been down and I've been counting on them. There's been times they've been down and they've been counting on me. The year was 1939. 1939, right there toward the end of the year, and 1940, the Russians. You know, that's the way a bully is, a Russian. They jumped on a little old country of Finland. There was a Finn there, and boy, he was mad about it. He knew how to shoot. And he told that military, he said, if you'll provide me with bullets, I'll take out as many of them Russians as I can. He went home, got his hunting rifle. He began to shoot them Russians. And in less than 100 days, that cat alone killed 542 Russians himself. His name was Semyon Haha. You better be good at something with a name like that. Semyon Haha, get out there in the cold and 30 and 40 below zero weather, snow, and lay on his belly and had white wool all around him and pull it up over his head and could see through, and got so cold he couldn't shoot Brother Fox through a scope because it kept fogging up. So he just took the scope off and shooting 500 and 600 and 700 yards, killing them with an iron sight. That's pretty good shooting right there. He said they was pretty easy to hit though, because he said Stalin hadn't let them change their uniforms and they still fighting in black uniforms, so they was easy to see in that white snow. And the Russians called him White Death. They thought he was some kind of spirit. They tried to kill him. They finally, he killed so many of them till they just turned a bombing embarkment on him, and they said, we'll get him that way. And he knew that they had a feeling that they were fixing to do that, and he started crawling and getting away from them. And when they found it, they found that bloody white wool camo outfit that he had on. It had blood all in it. And they thought they'd got him. They went back there and went and throwing a party. And while they was partying, he killed 50 of them. They said, man, what in the world? I'm talking about before you quit, somebody's counting on you. Finland had pretty well just all but gave up. But there was one little old sniper out there just shooting. Loved his country. And was against what that big enemy was doing, and said, I'm not going to have it. Now they may take me out, but I'm going to take as many of them out with me as I can take out. And they brought a bunch of snipers in there, and by luck, one of them shot and hit a piece of steel that he was laying about 7-8 foot from with an exploding tip bullet, and it blew half his face off. And they thought they really got him. They come put him in a body bag, and they had declared the war over. Well, he's in a body bag. And they out there partying. They say, we got him, we got him. Man, this guy had wreaked havoc on that Russian army. They were celebrating, we got him. And he stayed in that body bag for 7 days. And they thought he was dead. And they had done declared the war over, and he come out of that body bag and killed 5 more of them. And I said all that to say this. He lived till he was 97 years old. Them Russians would not touch him. They thought he was some kind of spirit. And he died in 2002 and went down as one of the greatest military snipers that this world has known. And they said that man brought such a resurgence into that little old Finnish army. And I'm just trying to tell you, look, sometimes, boy, it looks like hell's raging against us, by the boatloads, and looks like, but boy, all it takes is just somebody, just one man, just get in there and make up the difference, amen, and say, you know, by the help and the grace of God, this thing might be falling apart, but I'm going to do my best to keep walking with God. You know the thing that, and I'm done, our piano player can come. But I want to give you this, and I'll be done before you quit tonight or this morning. You know what wants to help me keep going on? About the time I quit, trump of God sailed. And I'd lose every reward I ever had. Wouldn't that be sad? And the Lord be saying to me, hey, you dummy, if you'd have waited just a second longer, the trump was going to sound. I mean, before you quit, you better realize you may quit and then the trump sound. I don't know about you, but I don't want that happening to me. Well, I thought, God's been so good to me. I've been a member of Shady Acre Baptist Church now for over 40 years. Ain't looking to go nowhere. Planning on just keep blooming right where God planted me. Try to finish my race with joy. Bloom and just stay. Amen. And stay faithful and make my mind up. I'm going to finish my race with joy. My grandchildren, my two oldest grandsons, when I'm home, they say, Paul, are you going to preach today? They said, we sure hope they let you preach today, Paul. Man, you better think about all that stuff. Somebody's watching you. Some sinner's looking for you. Some sinner in their heart, they praying, God, don't let them quit. Let them be real. Because in my heart, Lord, one day I'm going to need something and I need them to be real. Amen. So I wonder, is our piano player come, the song leader, if you don't come. I don't know, Brother Fox, how. Y'all just go ahead. If you need to come pray, won't you come pray this morning?